it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The following program may not be suitable for children.
Hold on to your butts.
As the sun sets over Slab Town, in the shadows of the Fremont Bridge, a club comes to life where you can let your freak flag fly.
There's a new fiesta in the making as we speak. Full kegs. Everybody's gonna be there. You ought to go.
The only thing that's off limits are the words you can't say thanks to the FCC.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
We've given away too much to arrive at these political compromises. Yeah, now.
Google me, bitch.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, my.
Oh, no. They were hurting you so bad. Oh, no.
Spit on that thing.
Don, are you paying attention?
Nope. Were you listening to the dude's story?
Hey, it's
okay,
it's me.
We apologize.
It's time for the club, baby.
What a shame,
151 and 1080. The Fan. Hoo-wee.
Well, hello there.
The new open is growing on me exponentially. Now, when we first made the switch over, I kind of missed the upbeat. You know, missed the upbeat club, but I like the new one is growing on me.
Yeah, there kind of that was probably tones. The thing when we made the switch over to FM that listeners were most disappointed about was not just new imaging in general, but the loss of the longtime club pre-jingle, and was not an option for us to keep it, so tried to cook something new up that would suffice, and glad it's grown on you a little bit.
By the way, real quick, every now and then someone just like texts in a random question for the club. And like, if you text one in, by the way, at like 4 o'clock, chances are I'm not going to read it.
But between 5:55 and 6:05,
yeah, you might get me. Someone just said, hey, I'm not going to lie. I have the no moral spine at all. What is your, how diligent are you at not giving your dog human food? Mm. And this guy says, why wouldn't I give my dog human food? Like, that's not even a. Are there people that like don't feed their dog anything?
Yeah, so they because they think it's about habits. So if you start giving your dog like table scraps while you're sitting down at dinner, the idea is the dog will start to wait and beg for those table scraps and start to expect them. Also, that they then won't eat the food that is for them because they're waiting on human food that they like better.
Yeah, dude.
And I live in a world where I have 2 children under the age of 5, and so the dog eats whatever they leave behind.
I will tell you right now. I have never not given my dog food. If I am eating something, now within reason, if I'm eating like something spicy or something like a spicy fajita plate, no, he's not getting peppered beef.
Yeah.
But if I am eating something, guess what? The big fella's getting a piece. That's right. And by the way,
and I'm not going out of my way ever to give my dog human food. She just gets it on her own naturally.
No, I'll even go this. If I am eating something that he can't have, I go to the cupboard. We have like a jar, like a cookie jar of dog treats, mm-hmm. and I get a handful of treats. That way, while I'm eating,
he can eat too.
He gets some too.
Yeah.
I feed my that dog only lives 10 to 12 years. And its whole life is in your house, right? That's like, that's 99% of their life is going to be spent inside your walls. And yet we're going to be a stickler about what that dog eats? Get out of here. Someone's like, well, it can be bad for him. All right. Yeah, your dog can live 6 months more than mine, and guess who had a better life? My dog.
Well, the person who asked the question said, I'm not going to lie, I have no spine. Our little toy poodle gets to finish my cappuccino and eggs every morning.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, you know what else my dog loves? A Frosty Coors. Now, I limit his beer intake.
Is beer supposed to be good for horses?
Oh.
I think it is.
I know my dog loves it. I have a nice fire pit out in my yard, and when I'm left to my own devices, when there's no kids and the BTJ is off doing something, a lot of times my Friday or Saturday night will be spent just me outside at the fire, and there's usually a cigar, and there's usually a nice bottle of Tullamore Dew or whatnot involved in that evening. And I just sit out there, and yes, I get my little ball, my little dog dish out there. The big fella loves to lay down, and I crack open a Banquet or a Rainier for him. I pour it, and he loves it. It's like his favorite thing in the world. And he gets so excited. Like, when you crack the can, he's like, why wouldn't I?
Isn't this, like, kind of the equivalent of, like, the parents who are super strict and, like, don't want their kids to drink ever, even in their presence, and then their kids go off to college and they go hog wild? And, I mean, like, you know, a little bit in moderation. What's the phrase? Moderation in everything? Yeah. Everything in moderation?
Yeah. Like I said, I don't give my dog, like, an entire slice of pizza. I don't give him a six pack of beer. But yes, if I'm outside, and he knows, by the way, when we're having fire night, he knows. He's all kinds of fired up. And he knows when we're having a grand old thing, he loves it. He goes out there, and the colder the better. Like, when we get a big roaring fire, but it's like chilly outside, mm-hmm. the fall, this mm-hmm. is where he thrives. And once he knows that I'm bringing the beer out for him, oh, you know he's all about it. So I never understood that idea of, then the dog will want people food. Yeah, it's delicious.
Why wouldn't he? Because you don't want him asking for it is the reason people don't do it.
I want him ask it. Why wouldn't he ask for it?
Of course he would. You don't want him to follow you around every time you open a bag of chips or turn on the microwave.
Do you have a chair? Every man should have a good chair.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we moved the good recliner or the comfy recliner to our, like, downstairs little basement area, and then we've replaced it upstairs with like a two-man, like a little, like, leather love seat sofa that's perfect for stretching out on.
Yeah. I just have, it's not a recliner or anything, it's more like a club chair.
Sure, okay.
You know, like you'd see, like, in a doctor's office.
Okay.
But it fits me well. In fact, I broke the chair because I sat in it so long, and instead of buying a new one, I repaired it. I bought like extra foam for it, I repaired the bottom. That's how much I like this chair. And so I just, that's where I sit. And when I don't have family time, that's where I sit. It's where I eat. It's like a perfect angle to the TV. And the best part is the big fella just comes and he sits like right beside me. And we have our nice little, like, why wouldn't I want my buddy right there with me?
Well, you're the type of dog owner who would. There's others that are like, no, I need my dog to not be like a human and to fall in line, and you get your kibble that I give you, and that's enough. There are people like that.
I just feel like that's, then why have a dog? What are we doing? Like, you just have a dog, what, to be a jerk? Like, you just want some weird, like, subordinate that, like,
not to have to pay for people food for him with these prices?
And we do kibble, but we do fresh pet, like the farmer's dog stuff, on top of it. So we do a nice mixture, so he gets a little of both. Because, no, I don't want him to eat kibble. That's the other one I get. So you're telling me that you get this dog, and the only thing he eats his entire life is some horse crap kibble? That's living your life? I go Ted Lasso, live! Live! His whole life, that's all he's expected to eat is just boring-ass kibble? No. Not at my house. I'll take chicken stock or beef stock.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give that a spin around.
Yeah.
I'll do a can of tuna fish.
Mm-hmm.
Spin that around his kibble. Yep. Do some fresh pet on there. I make my dog, like, he gets meals.
Oh, this is what happens with my dad and stepmom's dogs. They have, like, a golden retriever and two dachshunds, and I swear they make them human food every night. They cook them rice. They cook them chicken. They got to throw some veggies in there, some broth, maybe some eggs. Yeah.
When everyone sees it, they're like, oh, my God, your dog loves you. I'm like, yeah, he does. Me and that guy are like this. And I just don't understand the whole point of having, if I wanted an animal that was aloof and didn't want to be around me and, like, you know, like my, I would get a cat. But that's the beauty of having a dog, is you get like a pal, you get a best friend.
I have done some quick internet and AI research here. Yeah. Yes, beer can be good for horses in moderation. It's a source of carbohydrates, B vitamins, and can be beneficial to their performances after they have been worked out. It also is used in equestrian circles as a remedy for anhidrosis, which is basically the horse's inability to sweat. So it can open up those sweat glands.
Interesting.
Give your horses beer in moderation.
Everything in moderation. Like I said, just let your dog enjoy life.
A little slice of the human life.
I just don't understand why you would ever want to have a dog that just isn't participating. If I'm at the house and I'm doing something, well, within reason, again, some things. Otherwise, it gets weird. But
yeah, you really want Kyle participating in everything, huh?
No. But, you know, and this is like every dog I've ever had. I just don't understand and having a dog that isn't part of the family. On Christmas, guess where he's at? They're opening presents. He gets a present, too. He gets a big old bone. Dog's living the life. That's all I know. Your dog's whole life is you. You have an outside life, and that dog is part of your life. You are that dog's entire existence.
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, my mission is to make that
dog... Make him feel like a king?
Yes.
Yeah.
Even if it's not the healthiest or the greatest life or the longest life, he's going to have a good one. At the end of my dog's life, no one is going to say that dog got cheated.
Christian here on the text line says, I'm the same way. When I get my food, it's for me and my dog. He's 15 years old and going strong. I always give him a few chunks of meat or whatever I'm eating. If people say, well, it's bad for the dog, I usually respond with, well, it's bad for people too, and we still eat it.
Exactly. Like, if I'm at a drive-thru, my dog's head is alarmingly large.
It's the whole window.
It's shocking. And so if I pull up to the drive-thru and he's riding in the back, I love to do you pull up to the window, and I just roll it down, and then you just see this thing emerge. And he's like the most gentle, calm thing. And it always takes someone back, and they always do the same thing. Oh, my God. They're like, can we give him something? I'm like, you got a hamburger patty back there? And that's my point. Same thing. I know that's not good for me, and I'm there eating it. I'm like, you got some chicken tendies back there? Throw the big fellow one. I'm eating nuggets. He should get some nuggets, too. And no one at the drive-thru can resist him. If I'm at the drive-thru, he knows too. I'm like, buddy, put on some charm. He gets that big old head out there. It's a guaranteed. It's a guarantee that someone's giving him something. He knows what's up. All right, we come back. A story, and by the way, involving a dog, and something that I was this close to doing, and I'm glad I didn't, because apparently you can do some jail time over this. This story out of Michigan, next when we come back. By the way, I just saw this before I get to my vet story. I saw they did the... what's the little Oregon series they do every week? The coaches, the recap.
Oh, Ducks versus them.
Ducks versus them.
Yeah.
I saw that today, finally. They put it out.
They put it out at 9:30 this morning. It's 23 minutes long this week. I'm about two-thirds of the way through it.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. I watched it this morning. I did have to skip through because I didn't have 23 minutes. So I kind of... Do you know on Twitter you can actually just, like, if you just press on the edge of the video, it goes at twice the speed?
Yes, I did know that.
I just found that out recently.
Yeah. Sometimes I accidentally press on the side of the video, and then I can't get it to stop going twice speed, and I don't like that.
So I was kind of like, oh, that's a thing. I recently discovered that, like, a week or two ago, because I was, like, kind of in a rush. And so, like, the parts where they were just showing kind of, like, highlights, I was like, oh, that's cool. Fast forward. And I was just looking at the behind-the-scenes stuff. That's well done. That's well done. You knew that one was going to be good, the 1,000 cuts thing, yeah. And... whoever does those does a phenomenal... Whoever, like, is in charge of that at Oregon, that dude should get a raise.
They have hired and then built out a really robust video team. So they've got, like, 6 or 7 camera people who are just kind of around the team all week shooting this stuff. And
so it's almost like they are playing for clicks.
It almost is. Uh-huh. I do think that Lanning has identified early on this was a great marketing tool for what goes on inside of his program. And... between the messaging that he and his staff concoct in the offseason and going into these games and then the talent that they have just in their video production, yeah. They put out something really special most weeks, and a lot of other schools have started to try and replicate it, but I think they're still pretty far behind. The quality of the videos that the Oregon team puts together, yeah. It's unbelievable.
And by the way, I'm sure there's other schools that I don't
sure,
follow
absolutely.
That
yeah.
do a nice job. I mean, obviously this is the one we pay attention to, but it is kind of cool that like people have... like, people wait for this.
Yeah. Well, like, last year we were getting, like, national headlines out yeah. of each individual one, whether it was the call the timeout and thumbs down at Michigan yeah. or joining the jump around at Wisconsin yeah. or the, you know, heavyweight fight slugfest against Ohio State. There's always something, and it seems like when Oregon's good, the national media, like, yeah. waits on this.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like I said, maybe Miami's doing one that's just as good. It's just I'm always aware that, like, we're obviously – I mean, this is what we're exposed to. But I just think they do a really, really good job with it. Because I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm not a duck. I'm not a fan or anything like that. I just think they're generally enjoyable behind-the-scenes kind of looks. And I just think it's I know he's a fascinating guy.
They're a little bit hard knocksy, but they like, they knock it out of the park every week, and it doesn't feel like it's a lather, rinse, repeat like Hard Knocks can sometimes be. And the thing I liked most about it is we heard the quotes after the game that like clearly were some of the motivation, the thousand cuts, the blank canvas for a masterpiece, whatever. Yeah. What I liked about watching the video is all the coaches on staff, all the players, like that message got through because after every play, they're saying to each other, that's a cut, go get a cut, that's a cut, another cut. And like, they're into it.
And hearing some of like the headset communication, that stuff's cool, behind the scenes stuff that you normally don't get access to. I saw this story and it kind of was like, oh my God, because this almost happened to me. I've told the story out in the, out in Clackamas, right off like, is that Sun? No, Foster. It's off the Foster Road. There's a Home Depot right there. And there's a wonderful little Hawaiian joint there. And so I'll go there sometimes for lunch. It's right by my gym. So a lot of times I'll swing by there and there's like a little, there's a little Mexican place there. So it's an easy place on my way to work from the gym that I'll swing by and I'll grab lunch. And there is a homeless lady that has a beautiful husky that is always tied up in that parking lot.
Oh, have we talked about this dog and this woman before?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And sometimes, like, I see her on the street corner, like, right off the freeway, and that dog is tied up. And I'm like, dude, that dog is going to get hit and die.
Well, at one point, didn't you even offer to buy the dog from her?
I offered to buy the dog.
Yeah.
Because there was, she had a sign that said, like whatever, like, need money, food, whatever. And I said, I will give you money. I think, I want to say, whatever I had on me, I think it was like 100-something bucks. I had like $115 on me, roughly, and I said, I will buy the dog for $115. And she was like, no, and kind of got all indignant. And I said, what will it take? It was this beautiful dog, and it was the sweetest dog, and I would always see it in these parking lots, and I would go up to it, and it was always really skittish and shy, and it was hungry. And so anytime I had food, I would give it. So I got to know this dog, and then eventually I would see it with her. And I think at one point, I think I offered her $500 for it. I said, I will give you $500 for the dog. And she goes, why won't you just give me the $500? And I was like, yeah, no. That's not happening. Like, I'll buy the dog.
Because the dog didn't make these life choices.
And so I came close a couple times to just taking the dog. I was like, dude, it was like in this busy parking lot. And it was tied up, but it was tight. It was tied up long enough where it could run into the road.
Yeah. And like on a long lead where it's dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a busy intersection. That dog could easily get hit. And I actually called the BTJ, and I told her, and she was like, take the dog. She's like, just take it. And I had this awful feeling of a security camera, because it's a big parking lot. I know there's cameras. I could just see the local news.
Getting the knock on your door later with the officers. And,
yes.
Yeah.
And I could see the coin report of local radio funny man steals homeless woman's dog. And then watch it. The homeless woman turns out to be like a vet. You know, she turns to be like a combat vet, or she's going to have some sob story, and then I'm going to end up stealing the dog, and then I'm going to be a terrible person. So I just was like, no. But I considered it at least a half a dozen times. And I haven't seen them around lately. They were around that area in Clackamas a lot. And I saw them like for almost an entire summer, and now I haven't seen them in a while. And then I came across this story. There was a veterinarian. This is in Michigan. Her name was Amanda... Hergender, and there was a dog that was tied up to the bumper of an old beat up abandoned car.
Okay.
And it was a pit bull.
Okay.
So she takes the dog, and she's the vet. She takes it on a 2-hour drive to her clinic. The dog has a severe urinary tract infection. She removed a rotten tooth, cleaned up some of the dog had like
eye gunk
and all that. She named him Bigby after a nearby coffee shop, and the dog was senior. They said the guy who actually owns the dog said he was 16 years old. But the dog is thriving with her now. So she has it. Somehow, I think she put out like either a story about it. Somehow the guy found out.
Gets wind of it
somehow. And he says, well, I want my dog back. And she says, no, I can't do that in good conscience. I cannot give the dog back to
this
me.
Dog was in miserable shape when I found it. I helped get this dog healthy. I don't want to turn this dog back over for the sake of the dog.
And the prosecutors filed charges in Grand Rapids against her because she refused to give the dog back.
Mm.
And they convicted her. The jury convicted her. So the trial was in Grand Rapids, 150 miles west of Detroit. It lasted 2 days. She was convicted, and now she awaits sentencing.
What's on the table for sentencing?
Up to 93 days in jail.
Damn.
And up to a $10,000 fine.
That sucks for essentially attempting to be a good Samaritan.
And she has to give the dog
back. Yeah.
She's being forced to give the dog back.
I don't like that.
I don't like that either. And it made me think about that because that was like my greatest fear.
Yeah.
I saw, and as we've just stated on that last segment, you know how I feel about dogs. I understand.
I can make this thing's life better instantly. It deserves it. It would be better for everyone. But now you've learned there's legal consequences.
And I understand for a lot of people, like homeless people, that dog is like maybe their only friend or it's like, you know, whatever. But at some point, especially like in this case, what are we doing? I needed to be on that jury because that lady would have gone scot-free. So you got a dog that the guy can't take care of, rotten tooth, urinary tract infection, eye gunk, malnourished, and this lady is an angel and rescues that dog from a horrible life, and now we're under the guise of she stole from him?
Oh, man.
Get out of here.
Yeah, does that guy at least get charged with any neglect for his animal? Because obviously it's not going to do jail time like theft of an animal or animal kidnapping would be,
but just be aware.
Yeah.
Apparently you can't do that.
Hmm.
So I'm going to go home and share that with my gal, because she was more fired up than I was. She goes, take it. Well, one, she just always wants more dogs. She wants more dogs. Well, we had three, and now we're down to one, and I'm not getting any more. I'm happy with just the one. It's easier. All the kids are out of the house. Stay with the one dog. And she was like, yes, just take it.
Another
one. She was just, and it was a really pretty husky. She was like, oh my God, it's ours. Take it, take it, take it. Well, now I can go home and be like, yeah, good thing we didn't take it. Otherwise, I'm being drug out.
And slammer for 3 months.
Yeah. 93 days in jail.
And 10 G's?
For 10 G's for rescuing
a dog. For trying to help.
No good.
Yeah.
Buck, you're a raceman.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose so. A Clydesdale.
How do you feel about ghost peppers?
Scared.
Yeah. Is this the dumbest mile ever run?
Probably.
When we come back.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We do have you from here, although Rop does not. We're not certain who has Rop right now. Maybe he's been deported, maybe he's just been detained. Either way.
Maybe the rightful owner of his Mexican street dog found out that he adopted her, brought her to health, and wants the dog back.
Well, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Me neither.
I've never actually asked him where he got the Mexican street dog.
I think it was through an adoption agency, but I don't know.
Did he go down to the mean streets of Mexico?
I don't know.
Can you bring back... Because I go to Mexico. I usually go to Mexico once a year. And Mexico does have a lot of street dogs. A lot of countries do. I think one of the things that we take for granted in the United States is the lack of roving animals.
Yeah.
When you go to a lot of other places, a lot of animals.
Yeah, big cities, you just see them kind of wandering around the streets.
It doesn't need to be big cities either.
No, that's true.
No, because we usually stay kind of off the beaten path in Mexico. Mm-hmm. But one thing you will find in every Mexican city, just dogs, just cruising around. And some of them seem kind of friendly, and other ones you're like, whoa. They're like in like packs. And you're like, yeah, it's probably not the place we want to be. And I am always intrigued because some of those dogs, like we've ended up with like vacation dogs before.
Yeah.
Well, we'll run a place like on a beach or whatever.
And then it hangs out all week.
Yeah. And we're always like, dude, we should take that dog home. And I'm like, can you take a Mexican dog home?
I think the border agents have issues with that. I know this from personal experience, not with Mexican canines, but I once attempted to smuggle a turtle back from China. Yeah, this is a real story.
You were smuggling turtles?
Yeah, so I went to China to coach youth baseball for like a 2.5 week period over the summer when I was in college. And I was coaching a team of like 10 to 12 year old kids. And we've now learned about the wet markets of China and how dangerous those can be. But they had one of these kind of like pet market type thing set up, and I was walking by and I saw these adorable little aquatic turtles, and I thought to myself, I bet the kids on my team would get a kick out of this. And it was like, you know, $2 in Chinese money, and I'm like, let me get this tiny little terrarium, this turtle, and I'll bring it back and show the kids on my team.
Yeah.
Well, so I hung out with this turtle for like, you know, the last week and a half of this trip, and I kind of grew attached to him, and I'm like, well, I'll try to bring him back to a better life in America. And there was a veterinarian on our trip, and she said, actually, it's a type of turtle that you do see a lot in the U.S., so as long as it's not, you know, carrying something or is of a certain age or maturation, like, you should be fine.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to necessarily chance it, and I didn't know what the... This was so stupid. I didn't know what the Chinese government would want to do if I was trying to bring it on a plane. And so I emptied out, like, one of those powdered Gatorade containers and cleaned it out, and then I filled it with a little water, and I dropped this little egg-sized turtle in there, and I poked some holes in the top, and I carried him to the airport like that. Then I had to go through the metal detectors, so I went to the bathroom, I took the turtle out, and I just put him in my pocket, and I walked through the metal detectors, and then I went back to the bathroom, and I put him back in his little thing.
You put a turtle in your pocket?
I did. And then he made the 13-hour journey with me home, and then I'm like walking with this tiny little terrarium off the plane, and we go to the agents where you have the customs agents, where you have to declare everything, and I don't have turtle or live animal anywhere on this form. And he looks down at me and like what I'm holding in my hand, he's like, what's that? And I said, oh, it's a turtle. I actually did the research. I found out it's okay. And he's like, it needs to say it on your form. He takes out a red Sharpie and writes, turtle. And he goes, go over there. So
you actually were allowed to bring a turtle back.
No one was aware that I was bringing the turtle on the plane, really, except for myself and maybe this vet. And then when I got there, I just hoped they would say it was okay. And they did.
I am fascinated. Of all the, this is what I'm going to miss the most. And I mean this dearly. And if you didn't hear earlier, Ryan Buckley is leaving us.
That's right.
Because he's a crawfishing son of a bitch, and he decided to leave this fine program for a better opportunity with better hours, more money, and doesn't have to deal with us. He's going out. You're like the what's the official title?
The title's executive sports producer.
Yeah, whatever that means.
Over at Coin in Portland, CW.
Yes. So I will be coming to the CW. I expect a Sukanic edition to your sports department. Isn't Bjornsson over there?
Yeah, Bjornsson's over there.
Dude,
yeah.
Tell Bjornsson.
He's the sports director, so I'll be working very closely with him.
Tell Bjornsson to can it and get me on there. I'm pushing Bjornsson out of the way. His beard needs to be on TV. And I'm not trimming it, Bjornsson.
We'll see what we can do. I might have some say about that. I actually don't know yet.
But the thing that I will miss more than anything else is this. Somehow we're talking about animals and, like, can you bring a Mexican dog across the border? And you're like, well, I was smuggling turtles from China once.
Yeah. Mitch, that was his name.
Someone say the fine for illegally importing a turtle would be $10,000 plus. It's an expensive turtle.
Probably.
That's always my fear, is, like, you get stopped at the border. Like, because I don't think you can do... I once got detained at the Canadian border because I had flowers in the car.
Yeah.
We went up there for my daughter's birthday.
Yeah, all the agriculture people get very concerned about, like, what you're introducing to their ecosystems. God. Like, even if you go to Hawaii and back, they're, like, very concerned about what kind of plants and animals you have.
Yeah, Captain America at the Canadian border, this dude. And we went up for my daughter's birthday. We took her up to a hockey game, and we bought her, like, roses. Like, flowers. And we get to the border, and the guy's like, you got anything, bring him back? And we're like, no, we're like, just souvenirs, like, hockey, you know, we went to a hockey game. And he's like, you got any plants, like fruits or vegetables? And I was like, no. And he goes, really? And I was like, yeah. And he's like,
what are those?
Yeah, he was like, open the back of the car. We had an SUV, and I was like, what? And he's like, right there in the back. I was like, oh. I was like, oh, yeah, we got my daughter flowers. He goes, are those plants? I was like, they're
flowers, dude. You know they're plants.
So like, they're flowers. I'm like, I didn't even think about that. I'm like, they're just flowers. And he was like, he's like, secondary screening. I was like, seriously? I was like, we can throw them away. I'm like, they're like three-day-old flowers. And he's like, secondary screening.
Oh, God.
And have you ever been secondary screened at the border? Dude, it blows.
Is that where they, like, they do the full pat-down search and everything like
dude,
that?
Dude, this was coming back into the United States.
Oh, and this was the car, so they probably tear your whole thing apart, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So you go, you pull in, and there's, like, right there at the it's like the Peace Arch. So you pull in, you park your car, and they tell you to go sit in this room. And so you sit there, and they're like, when we're done and ready for your car, you'll come out. We sat there for like an hour and a half to 2 hours, nothing. and then it was our turn, and then if you want to, you can go out and watch, or you can just sit in that room, and they go out, and they do, man, they spend like an hour tearing your car apart. They do the little mirror thing. I mean, it's a whole deal. Everything out, all through your bags, all because I had like a dozen roses in the back of the car.
Brutal.
And the guy was like, do you have any plants?
And don't you think if you were smuggling or trying to get something past the border that was far more nefarious than roses, you wouldn't have the roses to get them to tip off the initial search?
And believe me, I think when I pointed that out...
That just pissed him off?
It just pissed him off more when I was like, dude, it was an honest mistake. I was like, I clearly wasn't trying. They were on top of the bags.
You're not even trying to hide them.
I wasn't trying to hide them. They were right there. Secondary screen.
Fine, then throw them out and just let me go.
Oh, I offered that.
Yep.
Secondary screening. Jeez, dude. You think you're taking your job at the border slightly too seriously?
Just a hair.
Yeah. What were you doing there? We went and saw hockey. Who were they playing? The Blackhawks. You sure about that? Yeah, my daughter's a Blackhawks fan. Jeez, Captain America.
I do get kind of jammed up when they start asking you those questions at the border because, like, I'm not necessarily expecting them. And then I get, like, panicked even though I have nothing to hide. They're like, so was this business or pleasure? I'm like, oh, pleasure. They're like, and where'd you go on your trip? And I'm like, I'm just coming back from this city. Like, it's not a big deal, but I'm like, feel like I'm in interrogation.
That's why going to, like, Mexico is the best. You could walk into Mexico... Literally, you could walk in with like an AR-15 strapped across your shoulder, an illegal like snake around one arm, a giant bird on the other one. They'd be like, what? Do you have anything to declare? Nope. Cool. Go on by.
Have fun.
You go to places like Honduras or like no one cares. Like the first time you walk through those customs, they're just like, what? Whatever. Just go. Going across the Canadian border? Not so much. They take it very, very seriously. All right, put a bow on this when we wrap it up here on a Wednesday. Club, well, it's just the club. It's no longer Club Denny. It's Club just the club. One more when we come back.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting close to winding down here. Just a few more minutes.
Do you think we can make it 4-for-4 games that are going to go to a winner-take-all elimination?
I hope so. Although it's a long way to go here. We're just in the bottom of three.
Correct.
And Cincinnati was up 2-0, but the Dodgers just... was that Mookie Betts that singled someone in?
And there's Magic Johnson.
Magic, by the way, looks great.
Yeah.
How old is Magic Johnson? Let's see what Magic is. He's got to be in his 60s, right?
He is 66.
Dude, first off, he looks amazing for 66.
Yes, he does.
And if you would have told me, like, when he made the announcement, I remember coming home from school and watching that press conference, the AIDS press conference. Yeah. And I remember, like, that's like one of those weird childhood memories. And I don't know why, like, that one stands out in my head, but I remember watching that and being like, oh, my God, Magic Johnson's going to die.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, it was sports transcending news. Like, you know, it was bigger than any of the games and the outcomes. It was like this superstar who was known worldwide. And, yeah, the thought was he's done here.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like one of those, let's see what year that was. Yeah, it was 90. Yeah, it was like 91.
Because that's right. Because then they let him play in the 92 All-Star game where he went off.
Yeah. So, same thing. That was around that. I was thinking that was like seventh-ish grade when that happened. And I remember that press conference and just thinking to myself, "Oh my God, he's gonna die." And yet here we are. I mean, God, 30 plus years later.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, damn near going on 40 years.
You could say at this point in time, he's had a hell of a run, circumstances considering.
Yeah, and I think now, I don't think it's detectable in his blood. I think we're at the point now with medication. Check me if I'm wrong, because there may be someone that gets all like bent out of shape over this, but I believe now that we're at the point where AIDS is a very, it's a, you don't die from AIDS.
It's treatable.
It's treatable.
Yeah.
They can't cure it. it never necessarily goes away.
But you can live with it.
You can live with it and actually live like a normal, healthy life. Like, it won't be the thing that kills you.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and you don't, I mean, growing up, I remember that being like the scourge. I had a buddy of mine that was in, still is, he's in the rock and roll business. And he talks about like in the 90s when that happened, that it changed rock and roll. It changed road behaviors. And it was like an entirely new thing. I mean, Freddie Mercury, but even then, like Magic was like kind of the first prominent heterosexual. After that, before that, it was kind of viewed as a disease of homosexuals. And yet, looking at him now, I would have never guessed in a million years that we'd be sitting here in, you know, 2025, and Magic looks better than ever.
Better than ever, owning a baseball team, living his best life.
Freaking A. And by all accounts, pretty good dude.
Seems like it.
That Magic Johnson. So, looks like the Reds got out of that 2-1 going into the fourth. And yes, if the Reds pull this off, we will have not one, not two, not three, but four elimination games tomorrow. And there's nothing better than a Game 7, or in this case, a Game 3 in playoff baseball. We will be back tomorrow. Ryan Buckley will actually shift over.
Sliding over.
Jordan Schultz will produce. And sad to say, this will be Ryan Buckley's last time hosting on these very airways before we send him away. But we will send him away with a hell of a salute.
Looking forward to it.
Join us primetime tomorrow, 3 to 7, right here on 105.1 The Fan. Devotion, turning all the nighttime into the day. Do a song about a single of the moon. And do a song about the night. When you do the walk, do the walk of life. When you do the walk of life. Red ships of Spain.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.